Reformed Church.
So let me give you the sort of the punchline first on this, and then I'll show you the verses for it. But so the Bible says that we have three parts, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Those terms are termed different ways sometimes, as we're going to read in a second. Sometimes the Bible calls your body, it'll say your flesh, and it'll just use that word for just your body. Like your outer flesh is your body. And then also sometimes your soul is your mind. It's just different words for the same area, your thinking. But sometimes your mind can also even be called your spirit. And I know it does make it sort of confusing because when we talk about our spirit, generally speaking, we're talking about sort of inside, that the unseen us inside of our body. But sometimes the word spirit can be used for your mind. I'm not sure exactly the definition of the word spirit that would allow it to be used for both your mind and your actual spirit. But that aside, sometimes it can be used for your mind. And the Bible will even talk about in Ephesians 4. You can throw it up behind me if you want. In Ephesians 4, 23, he talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's probably the easiest verse to show you that your mind, because it says mind right there, can refer to your spirit as well. So as we go through this, just kind of know that that is a thing, right? That sometimes your mind can be called your spirit. Now, with the whole concept of your spirit, your soul, and your body, here's how it works, right? We were even talking about in the Wash My Feet series that you're already completely clean. You're already completely cleansed from sin. You're already completely holy. You're spotless. You're blameless. But where is that? That's in your spirit, right? Your spirit is what Hebrews 12:23 says, that it's the spirits of the just that have been made perfect. So the part of you that is perfect in every way. When the Bible talks about how we've been created in righteousness and in true holiness, that's talking about your spirit. In your spirit, you have all righteousness, all holiness. You have the makings for, this is controversial to a lot of people, but the Bible does say this, that even in your spirit, you have the makings of your glorified body already. You have the makings for anything you need externally or for your mind. It's all stored inside of you right now in your spirit, right? So your spirit's already perfectly clean and holy. Now, what we were saying in the Wash My Feet series is the fact that the only thing that you need to do now is to cleanse your mind. Not of sin the way that we would say, or sinful thoughts the way that we would typically think of it, but of just wrong thinking in general, right? We need a cleansing of our mind of wrong thinking. Now, what happens is your spirit's clean. When you cleanse your mind, what happens is, obviously, even the cleansing of your mind is something really that you have in your spirit already. Because the cleansing of your mind is the Word of God coming up into your mind to clean your thoughts, right? It's coming from the Word that is inside of us, right? And the Bible says, and will be with us forever. So that cleansing that's in your spirit sort of comes up into your mind, right, via the Word of God, cleanses your thoughts. When your thoughts get cleansed, what happens is that cleanliness inside of you leaks out into your flesh, into your actions, into the way that you do things. So there is actually another cleansing beyond the cleansing of your thoughts, and it's actually, the Bible calls it the cleansing of your flesh, right? Or like the cleansing of your actions. So you have it all in your spirit, and then it leaks into your mind to cleanse your thoughts, and once your thoughts are cleansed, it manifests into your flesh and into your actions, and that would be called, in 2 Corinthians 6, the cleansing of your flesh. One point I want to make about this, because we are spirit, soul, and body, and all this cleanliness is stored in your spirit, you may say, well, that would mean that I only have a third cleansing right now. I'm only sort of a third clean, and I only have a third of the cleansing. But actually, it's incorrect to say that just because you are spirit, soul, and body, and just because your soul and your body are still in the process of receiving that cleansing while you have it perfectly in your spirit, it's a wrong assumption to say that, well, I don't have the full cleansing. Because actually, the very cleansing that your mind needs and that your body will receive as a result is in your spirit. Like, you have the cleansing for your mind. You have the cleansing for your flesh. You have every good action to cleanse your actions of things that are wrong, and you already have all the truth inside of you to cleanse your mind. So it's not, the better way to say it, and actually the more accurate way to say it, is that I have the cleansing of my physical mind already. I have the truth that renews my mind already. I have the cleansing for my actions already. It's just all stored in one area right now. It can change locations, and that's what will then perfect, the Bible says, will perfect the holiness in every single area, but we have all holiness already. In other words, we don't have a third holiness. We have all of God's holiness now, including the holiness that your mind and your body need. It's just all stored in one location right now. So there's a difference between saying, I only have a third holiness or a third cleansing versus actually saying that I have all the holiness and all cleansing, but it's only stored in one area out of the three and is also leaking into those other two, right? It's a much different, you know, and I hope you kind of get where I'm coming from with that. It's a much different scenario to say that I have full cleansing all in one area, right? So with that said, I'm going to go through this as quick as possible, but 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to just start with service in just a second. But 2 Corinthians 6:14, I'm just going to start reading. He basically starts talking about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that just means, you know, not to serve together with someone that you're not compatible with and that you don't believe the same as, right? I'm not going to get into that aspect of the verse right now. But what he starts saying is be not unequally yoked, or don't incompatibly serve together with unbelievers, right? Because in other words, there's disunion. And then he says, these are the points I want to point out. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Fellowship means like what camaraderie, what in common does righteousness, referring to you, have with unrighteousness, which unfortunately is referring to the world, right? Not that you have any more righteousness of your own, but you do have the righteousness of God now, right? You have no more rights of your own in yourself than any person in this world, right? You have no more righteousness of your own, but you do have more righteousness because you use somebody else's, right? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it says, what fellowship, what in common does you, righteousness, have with unrighteousness in the world? What communion has light, referring to you, and darkness? What concord, again, still talking about the same thing, what camaraderie, what agreement has Christ with Belial, which is a term for Satan? In other words, you know, you are of Christ and the world is still of their father, the devil, right? It says in verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What's his point so far? His point is that you are already righteous, you are already light, you are already separate from the world, right? Everyone understand that? You can reread those verses later just to confirm that in your mind. But that's his whole point here. Is his point that you need to be separate? No, his point is, what possible agreement? That's actually why he's baffled. And he's saying, how is it that he's writing to the Corinthians and saying, how is it that you find so much in common with unbelievers? How is it that you can find camaraderie with unbelievers, right? It's a difference between loving an unbeliever and actually finding camaraderie and communion with an unbeliever. Again, it has nothing to do with you having more of yourself than you have no more, I'll repeat it, you have no more righteousness of yourself than anyone in this world. You need to know that and they need to know that, right? You've received someone else's righteousness, right, as a gift to you. But because you've received someone else's righteousness, his point is not that you need to be made separate or made more holy. His point here clearly is that what agreement do you have with them currently? He just because they were finding camaraderie with unbelievers at the time, and he was correcting that, didn't mean that they actually were the same as unbelievers. That's why he was so baffled and saying, what agreement do you have? I don't understand how this is happening. You are separate, you are different, you are special. We are not special one to another as far as believers, unique to one to another, but you are special. You are already different. You are already sanctified. You are already cleansed. You are already separated from this world. That's his point so far, right? Then he begins to quote some Old Testament verses to substantiate the point that you are already separate, right? The thing that will manifest your difference from this world is knowing that you already are different from this world. You understand? That's why he begins to quote these verses here in verse 17. He says, wherefore, this is a quote, and he's quoting Old Testament scripture saying, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Go to the previous verse again in verse 17. When he says, come out and be separate, he's not talking to you now as a believer. This is how he's quoting this, because this is how God called you to salvation. When God first called you to salvation, he was saying, come out from among them and be separate. This is a salvation call, not applicable in the sense that God is calling you now to come out and be separate, but this is a salvation call, clearly. And you know that this is the call to God talking to you before you were saved, because when he says, come out from among them and be separate, go to the next verse, then he says, and that he will be a father unto us, which we already know that's already happened, right? He's already our father. We're already his sons and daughters. Clearly, this call for you to come out and be separate and be his sons and daughters is not a current call to you. But why is he quoting this? He's quoting, he's saying, don't you remember how you got saved? when you first got saved, that was a call to God, to you, to come out and be separate from them. And that's why he's using this verse to substantiate the point that you are separate. If you are God's sons and God's daughters, which not everyone is, you have to receive Jesus to have that privilege. Not everybody are God's children. That's not a truth. But his point here is that you are separate. You are different from this world. Why is it, therefore, that many Christians do not walk separate, right? Which is actually the issue he's referring to here. He's saying, why are you being unequally or incompatibly yoked together, serving together, trying to force camaraderie with an unbeliever? What agreement do you have with them? After all, God said in the Old Testament, when he first called you, to come out and be separate. So he's saying, you are separate already, and I don't understand. You know, he's sort of baffled at the fact that they're finding this camaraderie. So his point is, you're separate, you're already different. But go to chapter 7, verse 1. This is the end of the chapter, just so you know, so I'm just reading the next verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. So just going straight into the next verse, right? So it's the same thought, despite the chapter division that men put in there later. Having therefore these promises, what promises? The promises that he just said about come out and be separate, those are the promises he's referring to. Having these promises, in other words, knowing that we are separated from this world, that's his point here, everyone see that? Having these promises and having this knowledge now that we are separate, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh, talking about your body, and spirit, which in this case is talking about your mind. Body and mind. Let's cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm going to wrap up right here, but you can see that what he's saying is, you are already separate, but where are we separate? How are we separate from this world? We have all that special, different separateness in our spirit, inside of us right now. And that's what he says. His point is, seeing as you have these promises, what does that mean? Seeing as you already are separate in your spirit, seeing as you already are different from this world, and all that separateness and differentness and Christ-likeness is already put in your born-again spirit right now, seeing as you have all holiness and all cleansing, all righteousness and all truth living in you now, and have no agreement whatsoever, you don't have an ounce of agreement with this world. But where can we sometimes have agreement and camaraderie with this world? In your mind and in your flesh. You might think the same things as the world, though, still, and you might do the same things as the world. Just so you know, I'm not talking about being a good influence on people or speaking to unbelievers about the Lord or anything like that. But when we find camaraderie, though, there's a difference, right? Between finding unity with someone that is not interested in the Lord. When you find unity, you certainly don't have unity in your spirit, right? You have love for them in your spirit, but you don't have unity in your spirit. The only way a believer can find camaraderie with unbelievers or people that don't believe in Jesus, right, is that you think like they do, and therefore you walk like they do, which is externally means there is a similarity externally, but not because you aren't separate, but because you're thinking the same as them and therefore walking in your flesh, in your actions, the same as them. My point with all this is to show you that he talks about two different kinds of cleansing that can still happen for a believer. You're already righteous and clean on the inside and separate on the inside. But we already know from the Wash My Feet series that we do need a cleansing of our mind. That's the only cleansing you need to be concerned about, is getting your mind cleansed. What about the cleansing of our actions? He talks about two kinds of cleansing here, flesh and spirit, or flesh and mind. So what about the flesh part? That happens automatically. The only thing you need to do is get your feet washed. The only thing you need to do is get your mind cleansed. Which, what is a mind cleansing? A mind cleansing is a realization of how clean you already are in your spirit. What happens after you realize who you already are in your spirit? Then your body gets cleansed of wrong actions. But is it really that you don't have the cleansing of your body? No, it's just the cleanness you already have here comes here into your actions. First, it comes here into your mind so that you will think in accordance with who you are already and how separate you already are in your spirit. Once you realize it, then you will walk in it in your actions. That's the cleansing of your flesh. So what's the cleansing of your mind? Realizing, being purified from old thinking to realize who you already are. And once you realize it, then the cleansing comes to your actions, which is the cleansing of the flesh he's talking about. So his point is, seeing, having these promises that you are already separate from this world, why don't we think like it then? Let's pursue a mind cleansing. He calls it a spirit cleansing, but obviously we went over that in the beginning of this, that he's talking about your mind there. Let's have a mind cleansing then. That's washing your feet. Let's have a foot cleansing. If you're having these promises, seeing as you're already separate, let's think in accordance with how separate we already are. Let's realize how separate we already are. Cleansing of your mind. And once you realize who you already are, let's also have a cleansing of the flesh and of the actions, which is a result of the renewal of your mind. Because we know we are transformed, cleansing of the flesh, by the renewal of our mind, cleansing of your spirit, as he calls it here, the spirit of your mind. Everyone understand that? You have three areas of yourself, and that's why there's three different types of cleansing. One, you have it all in that location, and now it just needs to come into your thinking and into your flesh after that. But I just want to mention those, that other kind of cleansing that we did not go over in the Wash My Feet series, that would be the cleansing of the flesh, which again is a result of the cleansing of your mind, right? But you are already separate. You're already different. You are completely clean. You have all cleanliness stored right there. You need to start thinking in accordance with it. And you will notice more and more as you get your mind cleansed. This is the way to put it. Rather than say, and I'm going to stop right here. Rather than say you're cleaning your spirit and therefore you need to be cleansing your mind and therefore it will result in a cleansing for your flesh. This is the way I would put it that makes it actually a little clearer than using the cleansing terminology. You already have everything in your spirit. You need to realize it so you can walk in it. You have it all. You need to realize it so you can walk in it. You understand? That's hitting all those points without using the word cleansing. You have it all in your spirit. You're perfect. You're separate. You're different. You're special already now. And it's actually because of that fact that it is not fitting for a believer to keep thinking like the world. When you think like the world, you do it contrary to your nature. It is not fitting. It's actually why we're not cleansing our minds so we can be better or more like Jesus. We're cleansing our mind because if I'm already like Jesus, it is not fitting for me to think like the world. And that's the only place where camaraderie with this world can come from, is if I think like them and I walk like them, even though I'm not like them already right now. You have it, so let's realize it. Having therefore these promises, let us realize it so that we can walk in it. That's what Paul's saying there, okay? So I'm going to let you guys go. But anyway, that's a really, really important thing to realize about the washing of the feet, which results in the washing of our flesh and our actions as well, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.